All right. Good morning, everybody. My name is Jake Schirmeyer. I'm a research scientist with a lab called CosmicWorks. We're an applied research lab focused on hard geospatial problems and computer vision. Today, I'm going to be talking about some work in time series analysis. It's a time series visualization tool and software package called Comet Time Series, Comet TS, and specifically some of the applications that I test with this. So. We're going to be investigating some temporal trends in the time series of imagery with this open source tool. So what is Comet TS? Ultimately, it's a time series analysis tool and visualization package. So kind of the old workflows to really do a lot of this work are pretty tedious, especially in GIS applications like ARC or QGIS. So this was our goals were really to create a new workflow that would allow people to hit the ground running and get results early and quickly, and kind of tease out trends in a comfortable and easy-to-use fashion. So it's coded all in Python. It also works with Jupyter Notebooks, so all you really need is a web browser and Python installed. Ultimately, the steps to use Comet are to draw an area of interest on a satellite image. So this can be any area of interest. What makes Comet unique is that it analyzes polygons rather than individual pixels. So we're going to drill down through this polygon and extract any relevant statistics inside the polygon. So this could be the average brightness, the standard deviation. You can define the statistics that you're most interested in. From that, you can extract anything that's relevant in this tabular format. So you can export that for further analysis. And the final step is kind of this cool visualization step, which I'll talk about more as we get into this to really see what's happening with your data. So kind of just as an overview, I'm going to be walking through a few case studies. Specifically, we're going to be looking at population dynamics, change detection, and disaster response. So it's really built to work on a lot of different problems and assist with these. I think this room should be fairly comfortable with satellite imagery, I would hope. We've got kind of a lot of different variations on satellite imagery in terms of spatial resolution. Comet is really designed to work more with the lower res data that has a consistent revisit rate that is consistently on the same look angles. You want to have cloud masks, you want to have snow masks. All those things are really incumbent and necessary for Comet to work well. The main case studies I'm going to be showing today are MPP VIRS, nighttime lights data. So this is day and night band, well, not night band specifically here, I suppose. So the sensor collects on a daily cadence, and I'm going to be showcasing some of the monthly composite data. So every single observation in a month is aggregated together, and that can be used to show trends over time and estimate changes in population, electricity, and economic production. So just kind of as a case study here, Niamey Niger is in sub-Saharan Africa, and it is a location where we see a lot of seasonal migration patterns. Often in the wet season, there's more agricultural work available, so people tend to leave the city, and in the dry season, they come back into the city for jobs. So why is this important? Why do we really care? There's been quite a few measles outbreaks in Niger over the past years. And really estimating where people are is really important for delivering vaccines and aid to areas in need. So if a population is going up and down, you're going to have inconsistent census results, and nighttime lights can really be used as a proxy to estimate where people are over time. So just kind of walking through what Comet outputs as a standard output. We've got the brightness on the y-axis here, so that's how bright it is at night, given time. And then on the x-axis, we have our date, stretching from 2012 to the middle of 2017. And the black dots on this chart are going to be your median brightness in the city. So this could be median whatever your unit is that you're looking at. If you're using multispectral data, Comet also can work with that. Really, any data that GDAL can read, Comet can work with. Beyond that, we also have kind of this darker gray area, which is the standard deviation of brightness, so how variable is the brightness over time given your given area. plus our, we have two trend lines here, so kind of the linear trend and then a Gaussian signal filter showing a smooth trend. So some of the main work we did with this tool was investigating the effects of Hurricane Maria in Puerto Rico. So if you're not familiar with Maria, this was a very significant storm about 2 years ago now, caused $92 billion U.S. dollars in damage, and the second longest blackout in world history, which is was a significant event and one that was really in the news quite a bit. Fatalities of the storm were also quite significant. And we used Comet to kind of evaluate independently from what the official estimates were, how much infrastructure had potentially been lost, and more specifically, how much electrical failure resulted from the storm. And certainly, emigration out of Puerto Rico was also a side effect of Maria, with I think over 100,000 people being estimated to have left the U.S. territory for mainland U.S. or other locations. So as I kind of stated, the research objectives already, but just to kind of visualize where the storm came from. So it came from the southeasterly direction and moved to the northwest, directly across the island. So really, to estimate the number of persons without power over time, we needed a standard unit. In this case, we used census tracts. So if you're not familiar with U.S. Census, it divides areas up into regions of interest. In Puerto Rico, there's over 900 census tracts, and each census tract has, on average, about 4,000 persons in it. So here we can use our historical baseline of time series data, stretching back from 2012 to just before the storm in August of 2017, and pull out what the brightness looked like there before the storm hit. And then we can actually fit a model to this. So it's an autoregressive integrative moving average model. And this model has been around since the 60s. It's used for like sales forecasting. Are you expected to have more sales at a certain time of year? We can use this model to fit to our data and then detect anomalous observations. So see how much darker areas are. And you can see how significantly darker this census tract was in the southeasterly portion of the island. And also notice here the standard deviation of brightness is really tightened up. So there was a lot of variability. There were buildings that were quite bright and quite dark previously, but as they've turned the power back on, only you can see that only really a select couple number of buildings are coming back online slowly. And then we can kind of visualize how these things change over time. So this next graphic is going to show you the percentage short of the amount of brightness we expected to see over time, and really monitor areas that were the slowest to recover following Maria. So if this GIF plays, it does. So this is before the storm. Obviously, we're seeing healthy brightness levels where they're expected to be. Then as the storm hits here at the end of September, we can see that this big drop in brightness level. So the darker the red is, the darker it is versus historical trends. And we can see the island gradually recovering here. I'll just let this run one last time here. So again, the storm hits right about now. There's a whole island-wide blackout. You can see the areas in the southeast and central rural areas really slow to recover. And really, even by May, most of the island is 20 to 30% darker than we would expect it to be. And these slides were built in case the GIF didn't work. So again, December, February, May, and you can really see the southeast there is still quite a bit darker than we would expect it to be. So with this information, we can compare against the official estimates from the Puerto Rico Electric Power Authority to really track how closely our remote sensing estimates are related to the official estimates here. And really, they tracked quite closely because we're using the monthly composite data. You can kind of see this stepped off trend line here. And the red line here is the official estimates from the Electrical Power Authority. So they matched pretty closely, again, until the very end here. These two spikes in the red line at the end were single or two-day power outages caused by really simple events, like a bulldozer backed into a power line, and that downed electricity for the entire island for a day. It just kind of shows how fragile the situation was there. But ultimately, by the end, they said less than 1% of the persons are without power as of May 31st. Our estimates indicated that roughly 13.9% of the persons were without power at that time, plus or minus 5.6%. Always need some error bars on that. So there's basically kind of the conclusions of this are that they seem to be of underestimating the number of persons without power at this time. Another conclusion is that the grid is 99% repaired. However, infrastructure has been lost, so there's not as much light-emitting infrastructure remaining on the island, and that's really what could be causing this discrepancy. Population drops also could be attributable to this. So, as I said earlier, over 100,000 persons may have left the island as a result of the storm, so that this certainly could be factoring into this discrepancy as well between the official and our estimates. So if you'd like to read some more about this, we have an archive paper out. So this appeared in SPIE Remote Sensing last year. And this kind of just focuses on all the analysis I talked about and showcases some of what you can do with Comet. Comet also features multispectral visualizations as well. So if you have multispectral data, you want to work with that. I think that would be of great interest for this community. So here we're working with Landsat data. We've got surface reflectance on our y-axis and then our date again on the x-axis. And you can see kind of the changes over time in the lower ninth ward. In New Orleans, we've got surface reflectance here for SWIR 2. The near-infrared and visible green bands visualized. So you can see a major drop-off in 2005 as a result of Hurricane Katrina. And if you want to test Comet out, again, as I said, it's in Python. There's a number of tutorials that I wrote. So Jupyter Notebooks, you can just kind of follow along and work with it. If it's pip installable right now, if you're working on a system that it's difficult to install GDAL on, like Macs, you might want to do the Conda environment or do build a Docker file. But we also have lots of PyTests. Things should be running as expected. And just some information channels. The GitHub repo, as I mentioned, we have a blog, so we're pretty active bloggers. Have had a lot of blogs recently, not so much featuring a Comet, but other stuff like SpaceNet. You might want to follow along with that. And we have a podcast that we just released one on Comet on Tuesday. So if you want to hear me talk some more about this over and over again, you can keep listening to that, download, subscribe, all that. So yeah. How much time do I have? Okay, wow, all right. All right, I'll just run through one more example here, considering we have some time left. So this was a refugee camp north of Syria, and this refugee camp was established in southern Turkey kind of as a result of the Syrian civil war. And it's about 35,000 refugees, tents that have popped up as a result of the refugee crisis. And we can kind of see this rapid development over time in our multispectral imagery here, the higher resolution data on the left. Ultimately, what we're reading in with Comet on the right is going to be the nighttime lights again, so we can see what's happening on the ground. So this is kind of an example of just change detection and rapid land use change what we're seeing here. So this 30,000 person increase in population is easily observable in the nighttime lights imagery. So I think tracking refugee movements, those sorts of things is certainly another applicable task you could do with Comet. This big spike in brightness levels here is really quite significant. Even at that peak high standard deviation range there, the dark gray area, That brightness level is brighter than most major European cities. So obviously this is a more of a centralized, tight location. But I just think that's interesting. It's showcasing that there's probably some nighttime development happening there and more activity than we would expect to see otherwise. I think I'll leave it there and happy to answer questions. Yes.
Is there a limit on the size of data that you can pump through Comet?
So that's a good question. So the way I build it is it will drill down. It'll use GDAL to drill down through your area of interest. So it's not reading in each image the whole time. It'll just read in each individual chunk of the polygon that you're analyzing. So that speeds it up. And I should mention it does all the cloud masking. So if an area is greater than 50% cloudy, it'll just throw that observation out.
You said if it's 50% cloudy, but so is the option to throw it out or not throw it out, or can it do like a per pixel, like masking out these pixels, but then count the rest of the pixels and use that for the statistics? Is that what it's doing?
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
That's how it works. So you can threshold kind of like, okay, is it 50% cloudy? I want to get rid of it. Or you could set that threshold higher or lower based on the amount of observations you really want to use.
Okay.
Yeah, cool. All right. Thanks, everybody.